now time for Sports Saturday on 101.3 The Game. Sports Saturday is powered in part by Green City Garage, an environmental responsible garage in South Burlington, working on all makes and models and specializing in your family's car, truck, or SUV. Top Hat Entertainment, helping you with all your party needs from DJs to inflatables. They have it all. Vermont Mortgage Company, mortgage expertise dedicated to Vermonters. See how easy obtaining the right mortgage can be. And Vermonto's Pizza, delivering to a 10-mile radius of their Taft Corners. Williston location, 879-1000. This is Sports Saturday, living the dream and taking you with us on 101.3 The Game.
We are living the dream and taking you with us. It's Sports Saturday on 101.3 The Game and 101.3thegame.com. I'm your host, Jeff Paul. My boy Bernie Siplicki in the big seat to my right. Good morning, my man.
Good morning.
And the hits just keep on coming here on the TikTok, on the Town Fair Tire text line, which you can join today at 655-6672, or you can join our conversation, 802-655-6672. Jan from Underhill is already hitting us up. He must be a good buddy of yours, Bernie, because he has the same mentality that you do. Can someone please tell me why the Super Bowl isn't on Saturday? I have to work on Monday and can't have seven-layer dip on Sundays.
Well,
you can always have seven-layer dip, first of all, Jan. Come on, man up, will you please?
And we can get into why the Super Bowl should be a week from today and not a week from tomorrow later in the show.
Yeah,
and
again,
because it's one of my favorite rants. So,
you do rant about that. There's no question about that.
I mean, even last week with the AFC playoff, the AFC championship going into overtime, I think the game ended, a little past 10 o'clock. That's just too late.
Well, let me just say this. As I wanted to mention, our sports update, which was read just by our buddy Aaron Wells. A really good morning, Aaron, by the way. Good job.
Read or
Well, he
sputtered.
Struggled. He struggled.
Sputtered.
I mean, he owns it, though.
I blew it like Dee Ford.
I mean, let's be honest here. let's be honest here. You get up here first thing in the morning and you expect to read. Sometimes it's a little difficult. I mean, it's not easy.
I'm just still glad you're wearing a Virginia hat.
Of course, dude, come on. We'll get into that after as well. But hey, our sponsor for that sports, for our sports update, the Archives in downtown Burlington, they're featuring their Australia Day, which is today, featuring beers from South Australia's Cooper's Brewery, plus a traditional Aussie meat pies, which are amazing. And kids are welcome from 12 to 5, so come dress as your best favorite Aussie, and you can win a prize. My favorite Aussie, of course, is Matt Walters, the owner of that place. But that starts today, so if you're looking for something fun to do, check out the Archives, which is an indoor arcade bar. And if you're our age,
meat pie,
you gotta get a hand. No, it's not. No. Or you get like a whole meat pie.
They're like a patty, like the Jamaican ones, except they're Aussie.
Yeah, they're unbelievable. So you can be playing some NBA jams in there and eating a meat pie. Nothing beats that. So check out the Archives today and tonight. And if you got the kids, you want to play some video games from 12 to 5, head to the Archives downtown in Burlington on College Street and check them out. Right, it's the old Free Press building if you're trying to figure out where it is. And just to the, if you're on College Street, it's just to the left of Sweetwater. It's a great place to hang out. So, hey, what a week it was, Bernie. I mean, we got the Super Bowl all set up. I mean, this is a big week coming up here. We got Brady heading to Radio Row down in Atlanta for the Super Bowl. I mean, geez, does it get any better for 101.3 The Game or what?
No, it does not. I mean, so much excitement going on, between that, the Australian Open
ending for your girl.
Oh, painful.
Just kind of blowing it there.
Painful.
I mean, that was just
foot
rough.
Injury. Foot injury. Got to battle
God
through.
God knows. We got to have our excuses for Serena. There's no question about that.
Everybody I like you hate?
That's not true. I don't hate Serena Williams. I hate what she did to that poor girl that beat her in the U.S. Open. That's what I hate.
And she just won the Australian Open.
Well, it's fine. I'm good.
Okay.
The big one was the U.S. Open, and she just dismantled that poor kid after she beat her in the championship. And that was just terrible.
Oh, stop.
I do have to say this before we get into sports, though. After my Virginia Cavaliers just got nipped at your Dukies last Saturday. I was so distraught.
I didn't even say anything.
You did, kind of.
No,
you were actually kind of kind, actually, more than anything else. I will say that. You were more kind to me than anything else.
I said it'll be a different result in 2 weeks.
Well, I don't feel
it'll be
different. The Duke's a really good basketball team. But when the game was over, I didn't feel like watching sports. So I watched that. Have you seen the movie Bird Box yet? Have you heard of this movie Bird Box?
Who?
This movie Bird Box. Have you heard of this?
I've heard of it, yes. My girlfriend watched it. She liked it.
Did she like it?
Yeah.
Okay, so
He still hasn't seen a bunch of movies. You think he's watched Bird Box?
Well, I mean, I would think, because I think he's a young kid. You're not even millennial. You're like before millennial. You're a Gen Z. This is a Netflix movie. I've heard so many people talking about it, so we decided, there was a bunch of people at my house, and they said, let's watch it. I said, okay. And it was
Were you all
good.
In mourning?
No, I was the only one in mourning. Okay, everybody else in there are Duke fans except for me. And I allowed them to come to my house to watch the game. Can you believe that?
Thanks for the invite.
I don't normally allow Duke fans in the room with me when I'm watching Virginia. I don't want to watch fist pumps and people go, yes, and I'll, oh, you know, and good things and happen because it makes me annoyed.
When Zion dunks.
Oh, I hate it. I kind of liked when my boy Jay Huff kind of sent Zion's shot back into the third row. And Cameron, I like that.
Yeah,
that was pretty good.
But I think the reply was
no. I mean, Zion's a good player. Yeah, we all get it. I mean, you know, we get it. He's a good player. Okay. We all get it. Okay, he's great. Okay. You know, I mean, we're all happy.
But anyways,
we're so happy for the Duke Blue Devils. We're so happy for them. We're very happy. But anyway, so this movie, it's great. I'm not going to give anything away if you haven't seen it. If you haven't seen any like thrillers, horror movies, but it's creepy. It's uncomfortable. You're kind of at the edge of your seat. But my question is, what the heck is the problem? Like, what is that thing that you can't look at? I don't know if it's an alien. I don't know if it's a demon. I don't know what it is. The only thing you see, I don't want to give things away, but if you know
you just did.
No, I didn't. Nobody knows what it is. I have no clue what it is.
I don't know.
It's described as a mysterious force in the synopsis.
There you go. So some mysterious force. Is it an alien force? Is it something from hell?
It's Tony Bennett's defensive philosophy.
I love Tony Bennett.
Entity that takes the form of their worst fears.
No, I understand what it does. I want to know what it is.
They don't say.
They just said what it is.
It's an entity.
But where'd it come from?
A mysterious form.
Is it a ghost?
It's just a mind power.
Well, anyway, that's been the big burning question in my house all week was what was it? I mean, you know, it ends and you're kind of like, so what was it? Like, what are you looking at? What are we looking at here? What are you seeing? Like, what are you getting? You know, okay. It's a great movie. I won't give anything else. But if you haven't seen it, check it out. I think it was a great movie.
The classic director trick of leaving things unexplained.
Yeah, he did a good job. I'll tell you right now, if you don't have Netflix, do you have Netflix? Do you ever watch Netflix?
I have it. I have no idea. Everybody in my house watches it.
And people will tell you, right? Have you Netflix shows are the most talked about shows I've ever, like, in my restaurant where we talk, everybody in there is talking, have you watched this show? Have you seen this show? Have you watched this show? Have you seen this show? I mean, it's amazing. They have good, that's good TV, and I never watch it.
People at my school are constantly like, have you seen Black Mirror? Have you seen Black Mirror? Like, constant. I never watched it. I didn't want to watch it.
I'm going to tell you something right now, Bernie. Netflix will stress you out because if you talk to people, there's so many shows to watch. I mean, it's like, where do you start the list? I mean, the thing I got into was Stranger Things. Everybody was into the show Stranger Things. So I watched that whole season. And the thing about Netflix, which is great, is you just binge watch. I've never binge watched before where you just watch show after show after show. But you can watch a whole season in a day. It's not like you have to wait the next week and you don't have to watch commercials. I mean, it's perfect. But there's a lot of shows out there they say you got to watch. I don't know how you keep up with it. I don't have enough time in the day to watch, you know, a show, let alone all those shows.
I'm just happy Celebrity Big Brother's off and running. Ricky Williams is hilarious.
Unbelievable. All right, we do have a poll question, our Green City Garage poll question of the day today. Green City Garage located at 49B Commerce Ave, Unit 5 in South Burlington. My boy Chris Wallace owns Green City Garage. I bring my car there every time I have a problem, whether you need air in the tires, you want to get, you know, your oil change, whatever it is you need to get done, you have some work that needs to get done, call Chris Wallace over there at Green City Garage. That place is just amazing. Phone number 802-651-9299. And he mentioned if you go in and mention Sports Saturday, he'll give you 10% off some of the labor work he's doing for you. So check that out. But our Twitter question today is, and you can go to @1013thegame at Twitter to answer this question. If you only have one, you can only pick one. Who do you got? Bill Belichick or Tom Brady? Who do you got? You can only take one of them. Luckily for you Patriot fans, you got both of them. But if you could only have one, which one are you going to take? Tweet us at 1013thegame.
And you thought of this question all by yourself?
All by myself.
That's impressive.
I'm a big boy.
Because that's a hard question.
It is. It is.
It's a really hard question.
It really is.
I got to go with the coach.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you. I think Belichick.
But then there's the players play the game.
That's true.
The players got to make the plays.
That's true. Well, and you watch Tom Brady, and is there anyone that makes the plays more than Tom Brady? I mean, if you look at what he's done, it's amazing.
No, it is amazing.
It really is.
You know.
I mean, what he does and continues to do at his age and throughout his career is spectacular. But I will tell you that I think the tie that binds is Bill Belichick. There's just something about even watching him in the game last week, whenever they pan to the sideline, he's calm. It's almost like he knows what's going to happen. Just relax. I mean, he's got
not like
under control.
Tony Romo. He knew everything.
How about Tony Romo? Seriously, how about Tony Romo?
We'll get to Tony later.
I mean,
too bad he wasn't that good of a quarterback.
I know. You think if he could read defenses and read offenses the way he was able to read those two, you think that he would have been?
He couldn't keep his spine together.
My God.
Yeah, that's true.
Be nice to Tony Romo. I kind of feel bad for Tony Romo. I know he seems to be the brunt of a lot of jokes. even me as a Giants fan, but he's a good quarterback. Seriously, he's a great quarterback. I don't think he gets enough credit. I really don't. Dallas fans get all over him because they never won playoff games, never did the big things with him, but it's a good quarterback.
His bad moments were Mark Sanchezian in nature, where they were easy to pick on. But yes, he had an outstanding career
for a guy who wasn't drafted.
Yeah, and he's a really great guy.
Yes. Oh yeah, and I'll tell you what, and I never listen, and this is true. I was saying this while I was watching the game last week. I don't listen to a lot of the games he covers because I'm usually watching a Giants game, which is on another network. But I think
he was great.
He's awesome. I mean, he really is. I think people think he talks a little too much, and sometimes he may use some terminology that might be a little bit. It's hard to follow if you don't know the game as well as he does. But man, he knows the game. He knows what's going to happen. And I think he's one of the best in the game. No question about it.
I want all the inside scoop. That might just be me. Maybe it's some people disagree, but I love the inside scoop on what's going on because I played in an offense. I was a player, and I loved that stuff. All the little play design, all the little technique stuff. And you don't get as much of that with the guys who haven't played or the guys who are not as interested in giving you the details, and I love it.
Yeah, I mean, I think it all started, and the best, in my opinion, was Madden and Summerall. I mean, if you remember back in the 80s and 90s, I mean, all the big games were called by those two guys, and they were legendary, and I think they were cutting-edge guys. You remember back in those days, Bernie? I mean, John Madden's boom, and, you know, getting you inside and giving you the mentality, that was cutting-edge, and Tony Romo was like the new John Madden, except a little bit different in terms of terminology.
Yeah, and now that I've gotten us totally off-topic with our poll question, I apologize for that. I'm going to kind of bring it back.
Oh, okay, you're bringing us back to Earth. Okay, sorry. Okay, yeah.
I guess at the end of the day, as great as Brady is, you need a great coach and a great quarterback. I still got to go with the coach.
Yeah, I'm with you. I would take Belichick as well, but it would be a tough sell because as soon as you pick one, the first word in your head is what? But. Exactly. Because, you know, you're thinking, okay, yeah, but, you know, Brady did X, Y, and Z. Yeah, but Belichick, you know. Yeah. So I think what it comes down to is that you've got two great players. But if you had to pick one, I think, and you're trying to build an organization, Bill Belichick is the greatest mind in the NFL today. Maybe the greatest mind in the NFL in the history of the game.
You know, but okay, so let's go back. Belichick failed in Cleveland.
But did he fail in Cleveland?
That's not.
I mean, I don't know if he necessarily did fail in Cleveland.
But you look at, let's look at how bad Cleveland has been. Just as an example, they've never had a good quarterback, and now Baker Mayfield comes in and they hit the jackpot, and now...
Well, we don't know if they've hit the jackpot yet, but it looks like they're going in the right direction. But
so does that sway to, you need players?
Well, let me ask you...
Because is it about the X's and the O's, or is it about the Jimmys and the Joes?
Okay, agree with what you're saying, but look what Belichick did when Brady's been down, what he did with Matt Castle. What he did with Jimmy Garoppolo. I mean, you know, the Patriots haven't missed a beat. Brady hasn't been on the field every game of every year. He's had some big injuries. They've lost him. The year that he had Matt Castle, they won 11 games, but didn't go to the playoffs.
Right.
And they went 11.
They go 18-0 and they lose to the Giants. He didn't finish.
Of course.
But is that Brady or is that Belichick?
Well, I mean, let's be honest here. The two games with the Giants are just, you know, I mean, the Giants made some iconic plays to put themselves
in position. Eli Manning made unbelievable plays.
He made two great plays, no question about it. I mean, you know, you throw the ball 3,000 times and make two good throws like Eli did. I mean, you're going to have those moments once in a while.
Will you become a Cowboys fan, please?
I'm a Giants fan.
Go be a Tony Romo fan.
I'm a realist.
It's the beauty of the game that a ball can bounce one way or the other and change the
course of history. There's no question about it. But at the end of the day, let me just say this. The biggest mistake that I think has ever been made in Bill Belichick's career isn't by Bill Belichick. It's by the Giant organization allowing him to leave. I mean, think about what the Giants had between, if it wasn't for George Young.
LT said it. Belichick should have been our next coach.
There's no question about it. And Parcells should have been there another 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 years. I mean, if the Giants did this right, if George Young's, who was the GM at the time of the New York Giants, wasn't as arrogant as he was and did what he did to the Giant organization, you wouldn't have had the Ray Hanley years. And think about that, Giant fans. Bill Parcells is your coach until he retires. And then who takes, or maybe he ends up leaving eventually because Bill Belichick, you know, wasn't going to stay as a coordinator the whole time. Maybe Parcells is the coach there for another 2 or 3, 4 years, and then Belichick takes over. Think about where the Giants would be today.
So who you got?
You got to put your
vote on the
Belichick.
Poll.
Belichick's my guy.
Not even close.
Belichick.
Brady or Belichick?
Belichick.
You're taking Belichick.
I'm taking Belichick. Okay. Absolutely. I mean, I think the Patriots are still going to be fine when Brady ends up retiring. I think at the end of the day, it's Belichick. That's just me.
If they win, do they both walk?
It's good question. I don't think Belichick walks. I think Belichick's going to be there another 5-6 years. I can't see him going anywhere.
I can't see these guys leaving because they are loaded with cap space. They are loaded with draft picks. And
why would you?
Everybody says this is a down year and they're rebuilding.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll take it.
Good for them.
Yeah.
And, you know, the thing is, you know, and I was with you for the last couple of weeks. I thought, you know, maybe, I guess, you know, you listen to the noise. You know, the guys that tell you every single day that Brady stinks.
There's always a lot of noise.
And I mean, listen, I've heard people say, I mean, even you, Aaron, who's a big Patriot fan, has said this year, you know, this doesn't look like the same Brady. I don't know what the heck anybody's talking about. For the exception of maybe one throw that we got, you know, the one simple throw that he made against Pittsburgh that was picked off late in the game, Tom Brady's been Tom Brady. But I will take, at the end of the day, Tom Brady is why wouldn't you come back? You're still at the top of your game. You look like you have the best coach, and you have all this cap space. Why wouldn't you stay? I don't see a guy in a quarterback, when you watch that guy play the last couple weeks in the playoffs, I just don't look at a guy that looks like he's diminishing to a point where he should retire. Chris from Green City Garage says, today, moving forward, I'll take Belichick, but different question 15 years ago. Harder to answer it if posed that way. That's a great point by Chris at Green City Garage, by the way, who sponsors our Twitter question here today. But I mean, I think when you look at it, I don't know. 15 years ago, I still would have taken Belichick.
Well, we didn't know how great Brady was 15 years ago.
That's true.
Either.
That's true.
And we already knew Belichick had a little bit of established history.
That's true. John from South Burlington, Coach Belichick coached the Browns franchise that is now the Ravens. His fingerprints are all over that team for the last 20 years with the influence he has over the front office. I'll take Bill Belichick, and he's absolutely right. And if you got a chance to watch, was it the NFL Network that does those, you know, life of people, and they did the Cleveland.
Yes.
Was it them that did the Cleveland Browns situation when Belichick, because like Saban was there and all those guys were there? One of those shows. I mean, they were building an organization there. The city, I mean, I don't know what was going on with their mindset letting him go, but John's absolutely right. When you think about the Browns organization, the Browns moved that team to Baltimore, and Baltimore ends up being one of the best organizations in football. That was the Cleveland Browns.
Yes, Bill Belichick has had a long-standing effect on that team. But you want to know something I wanted to point out. You guys were just talking about 15 years, and
yeah, you were like three.
Bernie said that 15 years ago we didn't know how great Brady was, which is true in to an extent. But this is how mind-warpingly long that dynasty has been around. 15 years ago, they'd already won a Super Bowl.
Oh yeah, I mean, 15 years ago, yeah, they had won,
and they were coming into their second.
Oh yeah, I mean, we're looking at an organization here since 2001 that's been the 2000 that's been the organization in maybe any sport. People talk about the Yankees being the greatest organization in the history of any sport. I think the Patriots have to be recognized for that,
without question. And that was like the start. So we didn't, you know, here we are now. So that's where 15 years ago, Belichick had done it, and Brady had just started, and is he taking it to another level?
All right, we have to take a quick break. We're going to come back. When we come back, we're going to move this to baseball. We've got ESPN Baseball Insider and author Tim Kirchen. Don't go anywhere.
Getting you ready for game day. It's Sports Saturday on 101.3 The Game.
I mean, I know we're a week away from the Super Bowl, but we're only like 3 or 4 weeks away from spring training.
Yeah.
Well, that's my wheelhouse right there, baby. That's when we know the weather's
starting to turn. And you are right saying a week, because the game should be played on Saturday, but that's a whole other conversation.
We'll get into that some other time.
Okay.
I mean,
okay.
We have another whole show before the Super Bowl to talk about your whining about the game should be on Saturday. But you're obviously not alone, because Jan from Underhill, who just texts on the Town Fair Tire text line 655-6672, feels the exact same way. So maybe you're right. And I wouldn't care if it's on Saturday. But anyway, let's change subjects here. Hey, baseball is right around the corner, and there are some big questions right now in Major League Baseball, because two stars in Manny Machado and Bryce Harper still haven't signed. And who better to talk to about baseball and the world of baseball than our good friend ESPN Baseball Insider Tim Kirchen, who joins us now on the TikTok Dealers guest line. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning. Everybody good there?
Everyone well, thanks.
Everybody's very well. How are you today?
Good. I would like Harper and Machado to sign today. So we can change the subject and talk about something else. Also, so we can start to make our plans for spring training. Where are we going first? What are the big stories? But the whole baseball world is on hold until those two guys sign. So I'm rooting for this to happen today. I just don't think it is.
So, Tim, before we go into the baseball thing, our poll question today is, if you could only have one, who would it be, Bill Belichick or Tom Brady? Who would be your guy?
Oh, Brady. He's, look, the coach is the best coach in the history of certainly in the history of football and maybe in the history of any sport, but you can't win without the quarterback. So I'll take the greatest quarterback of all time. And on my tiny little athletic level, I would love to be in the huddle with him. Just one time when he looks at me and says, if you get to the corner, we'll throw it to you and you will catch a touchdown pass. I would like to see what that must be like in the huddle. And how could you not do exactly what he tells you when he looks you in the eyes in the huddle and says, here's what we're going
to
do?
I would like to see your face if Tom Brady in the huddle looked at you, Tim Kirchin, and said, I am throwing the ball to you and you better catch it.
All right, look, if I ended up in a huddle at 6'5", 105 pounds, and 62 years old, the only thing you would see in my eyes is total fear, because I would not last one play without literally being killed when I got hit.
You are the best. All right, Tim, listen, on my way in this morning, there the syndicated show before us was talking about that baseball has a problem. It has a marketing problem. It doesn't brand their players well enough. Is he right, or is base? I always feel like that's kind of an over-exaggeration for people that don't pay enough attention to baseball. But does baseball have a marketing problem right now?
I don't think so. I think we're missing the point here. I think it's so easy to market a basketball player like Steph Curry, who touches the ball on every possession, standing about 4 feet away from you if you have a courtside seat, and a guy that is so personable in every way, but he dominates every game, as does LeBron and Kevin Durant. It's so much easier to market somebody who, you know, when you go see him tonight, I'm going to go see a star, and he's going to play like a star. And as great as Mike Trout is, and he is basically Mickey Mantle come back to life, if you go see him, you're not going to have the same personal relationship with him watching him, because he might go 0-for-4 with 4 strikeouts. He might walk 4 times. He might not even run and catch a ball in the outfield. So I think it's a completely different story to try to market a baseball player when he's not always the greatest player on the field and doing amazing things like a basketball player can do.
Tim, you know, you mentioned, we talked a little bit coming into this about Harper and Machado and where they're going to go, and obviously nobody has any clue, I don't think, in where they're going. I'll ask you where your gut is in a moment, but do you notice that there's been a change in culture in terms of what organizations are doing with these big names that want these big contracts? I feel like two things have happened. George Steinbrenner passed away and is no longer running the Yankees, and we know what he used to do with his money with the Yankees. And that A-Rod contract that he signed that was overall a disaster for the Yankees in a lot of ways. Do you think those two things have kind of shifted and helped organizations do things differently?
Well, absolutely, you're right about that. But it's obviously bigger than that also. There has been a change, a sea change, and I think we all need to recognize that we're not going back to the old days where guys get paid enormous amounts of money through age 37. Those days are over. Our new, young, brilliant, remorseless general managers have now a new value system that they've created based mostly on sabermetrics. And if you don't fit into their value system, they are not going to sign you. I am so surprised with how last year went in the free agent market. And I'm not as surprised this year, because this is just an extension. This is the new business of baseball, and we should all get used to the fact that GMs and teams are trying to be smarter about the money that they spend, and some people are getting left on the outside, including, to some degree, Harper and Machado.
Tim, where do you see the Red Sox going in terms of their bullpen? You know, are they playing the waiting game with Kimbrel? Are their younger guys better than, you know, people think? What do you see happening with them?
Well, I think their bullpen is in trouble right now, especially when you compare it to the Yankee bullpen, which is devastating. I still think the Red Sox have a great team with the bullpen they have right now, but they're going to have to go get a closer. But they're not going to give Craig Kimbrel 6 years. And they're probably not going to give him 5 years. They might not even give him 4 years. I mean, again, this gets back to the the last question, there's a change now. Those guys just aren't going to get the money that they're looking for. But the Red Sox are the Red Sox, and they're not going to go into a season as the defending world champs with a subpar bullpen, because they know they can't win that way, even with the greatness that they have throughout the rest of the roster. So I'm not exactly sure what they're going to do, but I think they're going to upgrade their bullpen significantly before opening day.
We are talking to Baseball Insider for ESPN, Tim Kirchen, here on Sports Saturday on 101.3 The Game. All right, Tim, Harper and Machado are still out there. It seems as if it's a lower market team that's looking to sign them. I read an article that it looks like Machado may be interested, or San Diego might be interested in Machado now. Where do you think these guys are going to fall at the end of the day?
Well, again, I wish they did fall at the end of the day, quite literally today. But my guess is Philadelphia, the Phillies are going to get one of those two. That just seems logical to me with the money they have, with the proclamation they made at the beginning of the offseason that we're going to spend some money, and with the obvious need. I mean, they might be a fourth-place team in their division right now unless they do something dramatic, meaning Harper or Machado. Then the question is, let's say they signed Harper, then where does Machado go? I'm not sure there's an easy answer there. What if they sign Machado? Where does Harper go?
Yeah.
I don't think there's an easy answer there either. But I think we all need to also remember what happens at this time of year historically, that Prince Fielder from nowhere ends up with the Tigers in the middle of January. Max Scherzer miraculously ends up with the Nationals for over $200 million when nobody saw that coming. Albert Pujols, nobody saw the Angels coming there. So there must be a mystery team. There must be information we don't know yet that's going to surface, and we're going to slap our forehead and say, how did we miss that, or where did that come from?
Is there a way that one of those guys ends up in the Bronx?
I don't see it. I know the Yankees like and want Manny Machado, but not at $350 million. Now, if indeed Buster Olney's report 7 years for 170 is indeed true for Manny Machado, the Yankees may get in on that, because that is a bargain given his track record and his age. But I repeat, I don't see Harper going to the Yankees. I don't see Machado going to the Yankees, but at point, something's going to have to change. These guys are going to have to play somewhere, and it's really hard figuring this out.
All right, Tim, so now we have our induction for the Hall of Fame coming up. Mariano Rivera gets 100% of the vote, first time in the history. Are you surprised it's the first time that's happened?
Well, I'm shocked it's the first time it's happened. I mean, there are at least 50 to 75 cases in baseball history where guys should have gone in unanimously.
Right.
I mean, there's no excuse for Ruth, Cobb, Aaron, Mays, Cal Ripken, Tony Lynn, name it. They should all have gone in unanimously.
Right.
But I have no problem, of course, with Mariano Rivera going in unanimously. And I'm frankly a little bit confused by people who are angry that he goes in unanimously. Just because he's the first unanimous choice doesn't mean he's the greatest Hall of Famer ever, or that he's better than Hank Aaron, because he's not. But he's the greatest closer ever. There's not a close second. He deserved to go in unanimously, and I'm thrilled that he did, and maybe now we can change the subject on this.
I'm surprised I haven't even heard that. I can't believe that anybody would be upset at a guy like Mariano Rivera being, you know, and getting 100% of the vote. That's stunning to me.
Well, they're not upset at him.
No, right.
At the process, but this is the problem. The reaction is about the voters and the voting instead of about the guys who go in.
Right.
Sometimes we totally miss the subject and the point on some of these things.
All right. Are you shocked as I am that Harold Baines is going to be a Hall of Famer? Even Lee Smith. I'm shocked that, I mean, what's going on with the Hall of Fame?
Well, I was on the committee that elected Lee Smith and Harold Baines. And being on that committee, that's the fourth time I've been on that kind of committee, were sworn to secrecy on all things that happened in that room. So I have to take the fifth on this and say, I'm not allowed to talk about
gotcha.
This. And so I'm not going to talk about this. But I can tell you, Harold Baines would have gotten 3,000 hits if not for two work stoppages. And Lee Smith was a darn good reliever for a long time.
Tim Kirchen, you are literally the best, and we appreciate you taking the time this morning, my friend. Have a great rest of your weekend. So when does it all start for you? Like, when do you are you booking your travel now for your, because the spring training gets
he needs
crazy.
Signings first.
Yeah, well, he's going regardless.
I'm going somewhere. I just can't book anything until I know where I'm going. And so, I don't know yet until Harper and Machado sign.
So what happens if they wait till like the day before spring training? You just have to stay on hold?
No, I'm going somewhere, whether they tell me where to go. I'm going to Florida on February the 12th to go see the Red Sox. And if I have to go to Arizona on February the 13th, then that's what I'll do.
Is it the best time of year for you, spring training?
Yes, it's crucial. It's fun. The stuff I learn in February, March, I'm still using in August, September. So it's a great time of year for me, and I can't wait for it to start.
Tim, thanks so much for the time, buddy. Have a great rest of your weekend.
Okay, guys. See ya.
Thank you.
The great Tim Kirchen from ESPN. I mean, he's just gentleman, and he's fantastic interview. But again, interesting for me in terms of the Hall of Fame. I mean, when you look at Bernie, who's going in this year, I think the three that just got that are going in, Rivera, Halliday, Edgar Martinez, Halliday just passed away. I think those three are guaranteed. Mike Mussina, I'm a little shocked, gets in. But Harold Baines and Lee Smith, I don't get it. I mean,
the last three, Moose, Baines, and Smith, they were all really, really good.
Good players, no question.
And, you know, had moments of brilliance.
But are they Hall of Fame worthy?
Right.
When you walk into that Hall of Fame and you see Babe Ruth and you see Lou Gehrig and you see Ted Williams and you see those names, do you look at there and you think, oh, where's Harold Baines? Where's Lee Smith?
When you see the portrait, you're like, Harold Baines got it?
Yeah. But isn't that where we're at today in society?
Well, does the steroid era have a lot to do with it?
Well, maybe. That's a good point. But the steroid, but again, I would argue the steroid era is a part of baseball history. That's part of it.
But I'm saying, are guys like Bonds, A-Rod, Clemens not getting in, which is because of the steroids?
But that doesn't mean that these guys
are
getting in.
But are those votes going towards those three?
I don't know. Well, if that's the case, I can see why you'd leave those guys off. I can get all that. But to take those votes and put them somewhere else, to me, is a little bit crazy. That's just to me. And I know that that board that he was on, that Tim is on, also had some former players on. That has a lot to do with why Baines got in. But to me, the Hall of Fame, and anytime you're retiring numbers, and I'll say about the Yankees organization, they retire everybody's number. I mean, I love Jorge Posada. Does he deserve to have his number retired? I don't know. I love Paul O'Neill. Does he deserve to have his number retired? I don't know. There's a lot of guys in there now that are kind of like, wow. I mean, they were great players during a great era, but were they good enough to retire names and retire their numbers? I don't know.
Oh, hey. Well, we got a texter, loves the show, go Wahoos.
Ooh, I like that kind of text.
Yeah, you know, gotta love it.
All right, we'll take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about this officiating we saw last week. I mean, really, hang your hat on the officiating problem or some other problems we're going to talk about? And we'll do that next when we come back. Don't go anywhere.
Sports Saturday is back on 101.3 The Game.
A little baseball talk there is always fun when it's 10 degrees outside, isn't it? I start thinking about green grass and the sun and warm weather.
Yeah, maybe in May around here.
Yeah, the way it's going, it's just been a brutal winter.
It has
been. How about this week? Huh? You have the big snowstorm, then we have this like Arctic chill where it's like minus 1,000. And then you get this warming trend, you get this heavy rain, and then you get the cold again. It's crazy.
So now I think there's more snow. There's another snowstorm coming on Tuesday to Wednesday.
Maybe get another day off from school for you.
No.
Get a little day off.
Rescheduling nightmares.
Well, don't they have days like in? Nope. Like embedded in, so you get like 4 or 5 in, you know, in case, and then you go over that, there's a problem?
Yeah.
No, I'm just going to be in question.
You know, be in school till August.
Our Twitter question today at 101.3 The Game on Twitter is, if you could pick one of them, Belichick or Brady, who'd you got? What are we at?
Right now, Bill is winning at 67%.
Bill's a big fan.
Does that include, you know, Tim Kirchen's vote of Brady?
Oh, ching-ching.
No, but maybe should I throw one in for him on the show's account? Should the show vote based on Tim Kirchen?
Sure. Well, Timmy will, you know, he can use that for Tim.
Even so though, but... Are we split?
I take Belichick, and you take Belichick.
I would take Bill.
So there's three Bills, and there's a Belichick. there's three Bills and there's a Brady. We'll just take, because you and I can go on and do it ourselves later.
We can?
Yeah. You're a tweeter guy. You're a Twitter guy. I've seen what you do with the Colchester page. You're good at this. I mean, you're very good at tweeting. I am not a very good tweeter.
Yeah.
But you are. Anyway, the Green City Garage, like I said earlier, the Green City Garage poll question, a Sports Saturday poll question at 101.3 The Game is, if you could pick one, who you got? Belichick or Brady? All right, so we're back now. We just talked some baseball. Tim Kirchner's moved back to the football scene. Rams and Patriots. Interesting. The talk all week really hasn't been about these two games, which were pretty iconic games. It was how poor the officiating was in both of these games. And let me say this. Why is anybody surprised, and why are we making a big deal of it now? There is an epidemic happening in major sports in the United States of America. It's called officiating. It's been poor everywhere. We have seen, you go pick any game out you want throughout the season.
Hold it. Stop.
What?
Stop.
It
stop.
Is.
Stop. Please okay. Stop. The officiating obviously is questionable. And
very.
And officiating is one of the hardest things to do.
Probably.
Can we agree with that?
Sure.
Okay. But, you know, we see these plays and we have these big moments and, oh my gosh, if that didn't happen and they missed that call. Well, what about the choices that are made leading up
agree
to
with
those
you
situations?
Completely, and that's where I was going to go. Because
they change the total complex of the event.
Totally agree.
Go ahead.
Well, I totally agree with you. I totally agree with you. Two things I would say. Instead of getting upset at the officiating, which I was going to say is, I think we have a problem throughout every sport, every major sport that you watch, any game that you watch, any big moment that you watch, there is something that's happening with an official standpoint. And I wouldn't even say that it's about missing calls. Sometimes I feel like the officials want to be on television. They want to be the ones that make the impact. I'm telling you, these guys have become...
If they want to be a good official, you know what you want to be? Not seen.
But that's not the mentality of these guys now. Everybody wants to be famous, wants their moment to be... I'm telling you, I think that some of these officials want to be... I think they want to be on TV. I think there's... I mean, well, whatever. We can talk about that after. But if you want to really complain about something, if you're a Saints fan, if you're a Chiefs fan today, is you ask the question, why your head coach in New Orleans, after making the big catch, I believe Ted Ginn makes the big catch.
Catches the ball down in the red zone.
In the red zone. You're in field goal range. You're tied. All you need is a field goal. Why are you throwing the ball? Why are you giving the Rams any opportunity to get the ball back with the timeout?
It should have been run, burn clock, get their timeouts, make Jared Goff do something that usually only Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers can do.
Well, even regardless of who it is, I don't care if it's Brady, whether it's Rodgers, I don't care who it is, Eli Manning, I don't care who it is. You coach the game, you take care of the clock the way it is at home, and you kick a field goal and you win the game.
But how about a couple of different plays in the first quarter instead of settling for two field goals? There are so many things.
Okay, but when you say that, you talk about first quarter decisions, fair enough, but at that moment, you're just trying to get points on the board.
At that moment, you're just trying to win the game. Correct, and I'm not saying don't kick the field goal. I'm saying, you know, they did some things that were a little uncharacteristic in the red zone on those two drives.
Don't you think it's kind of nitpicking, though, at the end of the day? I mean, you're talking about first quarter drives.
But if you're ahead 14-0 or 10-0, that's going to totally change.
Agreed.
Weren't
the Saints up 13-0 when the Rams went for it on the
So now if it's 21-0,
well, sure, of course,
that totally changes as to where we go and does that even play. Come into fruition.
655-6672 is the number to call if you want to join our conversation today. 802-655-6672. Or you can text us on the Town Fair Tire text line. 802-655-6672.
I mean, the call was egregious. The call was missed. And we can all get that. But there were so many other things that led up to that point.
But again, you coach a game in the first, second, and third quarter to win the football game. Okay? So in the first quarter,
you stop coaching in the fourth quarter to win the game?
You told me to stop. You want to let me make my point?
Okay, I'm sorry. It's the roles reversed today.
Okay,
I apologize.
Okay, thank you very much. Now, you make the big play again. You have the big play again. Now you're tied. Now you like Aaron said, you run the ball three times. You make the Rams use their timeouts. You run that clock as far down as you can. Now, I don't have the clock in front of me. My guess is they would have been under a minute to play.
It was, I think, 2 minutes left about when Ted Ginn caught the ball. So if they run the ball
three times. Exactly.
Because they came out of the two-minute warning and ran that little swing pass
that didn't work.
That led to second.
Exactly. So now what you do here is you coach this game to win. Just like you are in the first quarter. So the thought process of the first quarter, we got to get points. We're at home, we're going to get points. I can see why Sean Payton would make the decision to go for field goals in the first quarter because you're at home. You're going to get points.
And again, in the first quarter in those possessions, the coaching plays and philosophies were questionable, just like it was in the fourth quarter.
Okay, fair enough. But the fourth quarter, you're trying to win the football game, and you have the football game won. All you do is you give yourself the best chance to win. You made the big play to get yourself in field goal range. You're under 2 minutes. You're gonna run the ball three times. You're gonna make the Rams use their timeouts. You're gonna give the ball. You're gonna kick the field goal. You're gonna take the lead. You're gonna give the Rams the ball back with under a minute to play and no timeouts. It's gonna force the Rams to have to do something very special to at least tie you to put you to overtime. Then there's no question. That's not what they did. That's not what they did. They decided they got arrogant. Sean Payton, who at times can show some arrogance as a head coach, threw the ball twice. It came back to bite the Saints, period.
You're both talking about the same problem, which is that while they played really well in the middle of the field trying to get to the red zone, their play calling in scoring position was bad. And as a result, they didn't get out of the game. So you're talking about they didn't get their play calling in the red zone was bad in the sense that it caused them to not be able to burn the clock the way they should have. But at the same time, earlier in the game, they could have scored more points and had it been a blowout based on where they're playing going up.
But my basis is saying that in the first quarter, I understand what you're saying. If you want to nitpick a play or two because you're trying to score a touchdown and you don't, the point in the first, you're trying to put points on the board. Three of those points came after a turnover by the Rams.
Right.
I'm just saying, regardless of what you think of the play calling in the first quarter, you're trying to win the game, and you are now in a position to win the game in the fourth.
Right. You got 9 points instead of getting potentially 21.
Fair enough. I get what you're saying, Bernie. I get what you're saying. But I'm saying, like, everything you do in the first and second quarters to put yourself in a position to win in the fourth. Period. So if you want to nitpick two or three plays that could have happened or should have happened in the first quarter that they had potential to get more points, fair enough. They didn't get it done. But I'm not going to harp on those moments. I'm going to harp on the moment that when Sean Payton got the big play when he needed it in the fourth quarter, under 2 minutes to play, you screwed that up with your play calling, and now all we're talking about is this official that blew the call. Simple as that. But Payton put himself in a position to get in there because of what he did. And I can say the same thing about the Kansas City Patriot game. They were bad both ends, and people are going to talk about that Brady roughing the passer play. It was horrible, but it could go both ends. But you want to blame somebody for a loss, and I don't want to do this because this guy's a great player, and it happens. But if D4 doesn't line up in the neutral zone and recognize where he is, Brady throws an interception, and we're here talking today, is this end for Tom Brady? And Kansas City's going to the Super Bowl. That's what it comes down to. I mean, literally, you want to blame officials, fair enough. We have an epidemic in this country with officiating, regardless. And I think the biggest problem is the guys that are officiating games aren't fast enough, strong enough to be able to stay with these athletes, because athletes today are just insanely athletic, big and strong and fast, and it's hard for these guys to keep up. But that's whatever. But when you look at these two games, and we have to stop talking about the officiating, because the officiating in the NFL is bad everywhere. In my opinion, it's like borderline WWE, because you almost know what's going to happen. I mean, the away team it's stacked against them anyway. So I can argue about that. But these two games, you can look right at those two teams that lost and find out why they lost, and that's why you got the Rams and you got the Patriots in the Super Bowl, period.
The Rams game, I'll give you, in terms of that one egregious call, and we talked about the ability for the Saints not running the clock out.
Yep.
But that one call was definitely the end-all, be-all.
Oh, yeah.
You talk about, well, the offsides call. What was wrong with that? We talk about, Kansas City making that mistake. There were so many missed calls both ways.
Oh, no question.
That was balanced out.
Right.
So
yeah, there was
the officiating in the Kansas City Patriots game is, and we all know how much I love the Patriots.
Right.
I can't point my finger at that.
Get
a stop.
Sure.
Line up on sides.
That's right.
So much stuff.
Absolutely.
Go ahead.
And it's not one play for Kansas City. It's four.
Right.
It's the D4 play and then three third and tens. You can't get the pats to have to kick the ball on third and ten.
Hold on a minute, though. Yes, you can say that, but that's Tom Brady being the best quarterback in the game making those plays. I mean, hold on a minute. Don't get on Kansas City for not being able to stop the greatest quarterback ever to live. You want to say that those throws he made in that situation were brilliant throws.
Yes.
They were brilliant throws. What you talk about is there are moments in games that turn games. So you want to, and again, I'm not trying to fight with you here, but you start nitpicking, oh, it was third and 10 twice. You should have stopped him. Yes, you should have. But that's the elite quarterback being elite. D Ford had them off the field in the game one if you don't line up in the neutral zone. That's something they teach you day one in football. You don't line up in the neutral zone. That costs them the game.
So that's not making a play and Tom Brady making plays.
Fair enough. Nothing
to do with the officiating.
That's not even not making a play. That's just not paying attention to where you are.
Right.
That's not making a play.
So the officials in the Patriots game, in my opinion, is irrelevant. Because, yeah, there were things that went both ways, but the Patriots made more plays.
Oh, they did. That's what I'm saying. In that, you can't. The officiating was. There's a lot of calls, Aaron. You're right. There's pass interference that should have been called. There were 1,000 things that happened at both ends with the Kansas City team in that Kansas City Patriot game. What I'm saying to you is, what cost them that game at the end was that Kansas City made one play defensively, and they did it. They picked the ball off. There was an interception, but D4 lined up in the neutral zone. That's what you have to focus on. Not the roughing the passer call on Brady. You got to look at those situations that cost the game.
Yeah. But then how is that any different than the Saints game?
What's different than the Saints game here, it's not. I'm not saying it's a huge difference. It is a difference because I'm not saying there is no difference. It's the same thing. I'm sorry. Listen to me. It's the exact same thing. Okay? D4 lined up in the neutral zone and Payton and Sean Payton.
And they made the right call.
And Sean Payton made a huge mistake in his decisions to not run the ball in the situation where he had the game won.
And neither of those are relevant to officials making a call.
Totally agree with you. That's, I'm agreeing with you there.
Ooh, okay.
I'm there. But you can't be getting on, like Aaron's getting on me like, well, you get off the field three times. That's Tom Brady.
I'm not getting on you. My point was, it was actually to your point. It was to your point that Kansas, both teams, you can see where they failed. Kansas City had an incredible pass rush all year, and they didn't get to Tom Brady once. 3 3rd and 10s, optimal moments for sacks. They never touch him.
And that's what makes the Patriots special. But when you have a chance to make a play like they did, you can't make a mistake like that. So get off the officiating there. It's bad anywhere. It's just the way it is. I mean, that's what we have right now. Things have to get fixed with the officials in the NFL. There's no question about it. But you want to blame somebody, New Orleans fans, blame Sean Payton. And if you want to blame somebody in Kansas City, don't get on those officials. Get on D4. Line up on the right side. You're all right. And I like D4, and I love that Kansas City team. I love Mahomes.
And the defensive coordinator gets fired.
That's right. That's right. Unfortunate. But that's just Brady being Brady, man. Those throws were epic. All right. I need a shower.
Yes, no kidding.
All right. Take a quick break. When we come back, it's out in left field time. Don't go anywhere.
Get ready, because you're about to hear some weird shit. This is Out in Left Field on 101.3 The Game.
This music means we're out in left field, buddy. What do we got today?
Man says emotional support alligator helps his depression. A Pennsylvania man says his emotional support alligator helps him deal with his depression. 65-year-old Joey Henney of York Haven says his registered emotional support animal named Wally likes to snuggle and give hugs despite being...
What? He likes to snuggle? An alligator wants to snuggle and give hugs. Okay. Okay, I'm sorry. Continue.
Despite being a 5-foot-long alligator, Philly.com reports Henny says he received...
Only in Philadelphia. Honestly, only in Philadelphia does some dude have an alligator as a support animal.
Surprised not an eagle.
Oh, my God.
Come on. Let him finish the story.
Henny says he received approval from his doctor to use Wally as his emotional support animal after not wanting to go on medication for depression. Wally was rescued from outside Orlando at 14 months old. Henny says Wally eats chicken wings and shares an indoor plastic pond with a smaller rescue alligator named Scrappy. Henny acknowledges that Wally is still a dangerous wild animal and could probably tear his arm off, but says he's never been afraid of him.
Okay.
Hold it.
Oh, my goodness.
Hold it.
Where do we start with this one?
So, he's got two?
He's got two alligators. Yeah, Scrappy and Wally.
I don't think he
what
cuddles
is Scooby
with Scrappy.
What does Scooby and Scrappy do?
No, it's Wally and Scrappy.
Oh, I didn't.
I mean, listen, I'm not laughing at this gentleman's depression, because depression is a horrible thing. But I mean, what is your mentality when you look at an alligator and think this is going to calm me down? You know, I get home from work and I want to cuddle up with my alligator, a real alligator, which by the way is 5 feet long.
Imagine walking into your house and you see Wally and you just hear the.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
An alligator?
Yeah, I mean, what are you, rubbing his belly then?
Oh, my. No. Oh, my God.
I mean, that is just, I mean, God bless him, but somebody should, and who is saying this is okay that you
he
can
have.
He has doctor's that you can
approval?
Have, yeah, that you, it's okay to cuddle this alligator. I mean, you're going to come home and cuddle it. What if when this alligator decides one day that, you know what,
yeah,
I've had
I'm
enough of this cuddling.
I'm sick of chicken wings.
Exactly. I'm going to grab one of your wings.
I guess, you know,
have you ever
the state of calmness that he must have
I can
with the
see,
alligator?
Now, here's the deal. I can see the calmness if the alligator was, say, was in an aquarium and you're just kind of watching because, you know, you look at an aquarium, they're calm. You're seeing the fish swim around. But an alligator, to me, doesn't seem to make me want to be like, you know, calm your depression.
What does an indoor plastic pond look like?
Well, I'll tell you what it looks like. It looks like a place, like a plastic pool that you'd have out back for your kids. That's probably what it looks like. And that's where he hangs out.
But I'm thinking,
what do I know?
You sleep through that alligator's breakfast one too many times, and he's going to thrash you.
Oh, yeah. You'll be in that pond with him.
Yeah, I mean, good for him if it's helping him, but I think if I... Hopefully, I never have to battle depression. I would find other ways.
I wonder if a lot of people come over for dinner to that cat's house. I can't imagine. There'd be a lot of people coming over to hang out with Wally and Scrappy.
You feel like bringing a chicken?
Yeah.
Whole?
Yeah, think about that. Like, I'm struggling with my new puppy grabbing food off the table that I have now. Can you imagine if you had an alligator? I mean, you're sitting there having, you know, you're eating chicken wings, watching a big game of pizza, and the alligator wants a bite to eat and decides he's going to take a quick nip. He doesn't mean to take your finger off. He just wanted to pee. I'm training him.
Well, he'd eat the whole pizza.
But,
in one bite?
Exactly. Or in your hand. You know, right now
you can't feed the alligator.
What I'm telling you is, though, you have an alligator hitting around your house. You're eating pizza. Somebody walks up to you and tries to take a bite. You know how puppies want to take, like, they want to take a bite of your sandwich or something. This guy takes your arm with it. Didn't mean to do it. Just wanted a piece of the sandwich.
Ay, ay, ay.
Ay, ay, ay is right. Sports uptight time. Sports uptight. Now I'm uptight. Sports update time, kiddo. Let's go.
Another day of sports talk in the Champlain Valley. This is Sports Saturday on 101.3 The Game.
That was a pretty spirited first hour, Burn.
Yes, it was.
Got a lot off our chest. I feel better. I don't know about you.
I always feel good, man. You know that.
655-6672 is the number to call if you want to join us today, 802-655-6672, or you can text us, and we've gotten a lot of texts today on the text line, the Town Fair Tire text line, same phone number, 802-655-6672, 6672, like I just said. Our Green City Garage poll question today, if you could have one or the other, Bill Belichick or Tom Brady, who do you got? You can put your answer at 1013thegame on Twitter. That question is brought to you by Green City Garage, 802-651-9299, located at 49B Commerce Ave, Unit 5 in South Burlington. You mentioned Sports Saturday to my buddy Chris Wallace over there, the owner and operator. You know, when you have the owner doing the work, you know it's right.
That's
the best part about it. It's not like you're going and he's relying on one of his employees. Chris is going to personally do the work for you. He's phenomenal at what he does. He works incredibly hard. One of the most selfless people I've ever met in my life as well. And I'm very bad with cars. Bernie, we know that. Like I've told you many times, I can't figure out how to change the heat to move around. Like I don't know how to get out different vents in my car. You know, and so no question is too remedial for Chris, and nothing is too much for Chris. He's the best. So check him out at Green City Garage. And if you mention Sports Saturday, you get a little percentage off of the work he does. So mention us when you go see him. But the poll question day is, like I just said, who would you rather have, Tom Brady or Bill Belichick? And what do we got right now, kiddo?
Right now, Bill Belichick is in the lead with 71%.
Yeah, see? Follow me. And they follow you, Bern. The three of us are all Bill Belichick, but Tim Kirchen from ESPN, who we had on last hour, he says Brady. And made a good point, too. So, I mean, you really can't, it's you know, can't really go wrong.
Hey, did we decide, are we doing one whistle or two whistles on that?
We're going with two, but right now we're still working out the kinks with the timing. I got a plan.
You got a plan?
Yeah. We're working
why are we going with two again? Can we hear the differences? Versus?
Just one. I kind of like the two. Makes the point. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Speaking of points, UVM men's basketball didn't score enough of them the other day against UMBC at home.
Nice segue.
Yeah, thank you very much.
That was a transition right there.
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, we know how special this program has been. We talk about it every single week, and this is the first time we've had to talk about a little bit of adversity since last year's UMBC game. UMBC comes to town, Bernie, the other day at home. UVM comes out early, gets a big lead, but UMBC ends up taking that game 74-61 in Patrick Gym. The Catamounts score 61 points, and Anthony Lamb did not play with it. It sounds like a concussion situation he's going through. You know, you call UVM games, you're around the program a lot. Where are we at with them right now?
Well, I mean, it's funny just reflecting and, you know, they got beat the other night, no doubt. I mean, the game was tied at half, got off to a great start, and in the second half, they just got beat. I mean, plain and simple. But you talk about how spoiled we are as fans.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think, you know, Anthony Lamb is what, a junior? and he has been here for 2.5 seasons. And in the America East, he's 41-3. Yeah. Now, let's take him out of the equation, Vermont. I think they lost to Hartford without him last year, if I'm not mistaken, and they lost this game. So talk about a difference maker. You know, he 41-1. So, and the best player in the league. And the sky's not falling.
Yeah.
It's, we're okay. You know, Vermont's 15-5, and they just, you know, they didn't have a good second half against Bucknell. They didn't have a good second half against UMBC. And that's without the best player. And you got to figure, you don't have Anthony Lamb. You know, I don't know, but I have to believe the injury happens during practice on Monday or Tuesday, you know, whether because the game was Wednesday. So you have one practice or 24 hours to prepare. You can't reinvent the wheel at that point. And it showed. You know, I mean, other guys tried to step up. And they didn't happen.
And give UVM some credit late, and they end up being 74-61. But they got themselves within shouting distance late in the game. They made some plays down the stretch. I think one of the things that's concerning about that game, and again, you're absolutely right. You lose your best player a couple games before, you know, a couple days before a game. I mean, it's hard to make the adjustment to make the things that you have to do to practice those things, but. Defensively, they struggle a little bit.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
I think that's a concern. You know, UMBC got to the rim a lot on them, especially in situations where they had to make stops. Talk about that.
So I think that is the great and best point, and the point within the depth of the games that people really have to think about. And you talk about what changes can be made, because you would have to assume, and I don't know this, but you'd have to assume that, you know, if you're in the concussion protocol or whatever the injury is. Who knows if he's going to be available, Anthony, to play tonight. But one thing that you can control is Vermont fouled a lot. In the first half, the starting guards, Steph Smith, Robin Duncan, Ernie Duncan, all had 2 fouls and had to sit. And the bench did a nice job of, you know, keeping UMBC at bay, and it was tied at halftime. But on the ball defensively, the way UMBC was able to use the high screen and roll, get into the paint, finish at the rim with no help and just being a little late. Those are things that are correctable and can be fine-tuned. And, you know, it's Robin Duncan, for me, who I think is going to be absolutely tremendous, on the ball, sometimes he gets a little too aggressive, can pick up a silly foul, can go a little too high on the screen to kind of get your defense out of rhythm. And instead of just, you know, just being a ball hawk, being on the ball, moving your feet, using your length. You don't have to really get up and pressure to force tempo once they get over in the half court, because then they get by you and then you get broken down like what happens, or you pick up fouls.
And then to sort of make your same point on the other side, where there's an inexperience on the defensive side with guys getting silly fouls. On the offensive side, looking at the box score, I didn't get to watch the game this time, but looking at the box score, you've got 3 guys in double figures scoring, and no one else is over 5 points. And the guys who were very low scoring were guys like Isaiah Maul and Ben Shungu and Robin Duncan, who are young guys still developing. So it really seems like it's still just a matter of time with some of these younger players.
And I agree. And let's also, you know, take a second to reflect. Okay, last year in the UMBC game, in the championship, Everett, Ernie, and Anthony Lamb all played some quality minutes. Now you look at the lineup this year, okay, Robin Duncan, rookie. Steph Smith was on the roster, but really didn't get a lot of minutes. Ben Shungu playing a lot, didn't get a lot of minutes last year. Isaiah Maul, rookie. Rob Petty, same thing. You know, and Sam Dingba, who's in the starting lineup, injured a lot last year. So the influx of guys who haven't played a lot of minutes, and again, 15-5.
Yeah, I mean, I get it.
And the expectations are there, and they laid an egg. The sky's not falling.
I get it. I think the reason, and again, anyone that thinks the sky is falling needs to go, like, come on, calm down here. I mean, they're going to be fine.
I mean, but don't get me wrong. Today's not going to be easy.
Well,
either.
That's what I want to get to that in a minute. But I do want to say that, you know, there's been some expectations, and I think this is what makes it special here. And I'm not trying to downplay. I think when you lose a game, it's fun to think, oh my God, like, what has happened to them? Because, you know, the expectation here is if you get to that tournament, if you win enough games and you show dominance in this league, which I really believe this team is going to roll through this conference, and I think it still will if they're healthy. But you know, what could happen? I think the expectation and the excitement of fantasizing about where UVM could be in the tournament if they were to run the table and get themselves in a position is exciting to fans. And I think there's nothing wrong with it. But again, we talk about it. When you start feeling like this, just think about where you were. Say, of course, this has been a program that's been here for the last 18, 19 years. But you've just got to realize where you're at here. But to lose a game 74-61 does put some red flags up if you're a Catamounts fan. You're not used to seeing that, especially at home. You're not used to being dominated defensively like that. And you're not used to only scoring 61 points in a game against a team from that
conference. So you're not used to losing, and that's a beautiful thing. And there's a lot of correctable things that can be done to make sure, you know, you might lose another game, but it's not going to be 13 because you broke down defensively.
Right.
And the beauty of it is I think there's actually a lot of good to see in this game because it's one of the best teams in the conference. You were within, you know, a reasonable distance of them scoring at the end. And a lot of your players did not play up to their potential based on what we've seen this year. So there's a lot of potential good going forward.
I agree with what you're saying, but to a point. But you score 61 points at home against a team you should beat. I mean, you're not taking a lot of good out of it.
They missed a lot of shots that they normally make. Yeah. And, you know, that happens. That's the game. And the game can get ugly when the ball doesn't go in the basket.
And again,
you know, at the end of the first half, when the guys were in foul trouble, and my memory might be incorrect, but I think it was Bailey Patella, Sam Dingba, Ben Shungu, Isaiah Maul. And I don't remember who the fifth person was, but it was five inexperienced guys, and they did a really good job of keeping the lead. UMBC hit a shot at the end of the first half with 1 second on the shot clock. There was 2 seconds left. They had to take the ball out. They threw it in front of the UVN's bench. He kind of shot an off-balance three, and it went in. It was a good play. You know, you might say a little lucky, but whatever. But they were right there. They were battling. They just didn't get some breaks to go their way. But again, the biggest thing for me, obviously Lamb's injury, whatever, you got to figure that out, was defensively, was the defense on the ball, the way they handled the screen and roll, and those adjustments need to be made for them to try to be successful here tonight.
The last time the Catamounts got beat in the second half where they didn't play well was the Bucknell game. We know what they did after that. They went down to the Mid-Atlantic. They took care of business in the Washington, D.C. area. Now they go to Stony Brook, a house of horrors in the past for the Catamounts at times. It's a very good program. A team that you said, Bernie, coming into the season was a team that was to be
only undefeated team left in the league.
Very, very talented. And they're the number one team right now. This is a big game for the Catamounts tonight.
It is a huge game. I mean, you know, not so, I mean, yes, for the standings and the potential to win the conference, but I'm more interested to see how are they going to bounce back. You know, I mean, you got beat, and you got beat pretty soundly.
Yep.
And it happens. So now are you going to compete, or are you going to kind of cower? And knowing the coaching staff and knowing the players and knowing the pride that everybody has, you know, it might not lean Vermont's way tonight, but I'm telling you, they are going to compete.
Well, let me ask you this. I mean, you're obviously very close to the coach staff. Give us a sense of what they were feeling after the game the other day.
Well, again, I think it was just more of a disappointment of the quick breakdown defensively, just in terms of the way the ball was being played, the high screen and roll, just giving up too many easy layups late in that game when they got,
I think they cut it to 6 at one point, if I remember, like with 4 or 5 minutes to play. There was a timeout called by UMBC. There was
right to the hole.
And it was like, I've never seen against UVM a team that have the ability to touch the paint from the guard position like that. I mean, it's not like they were just hitting bombs and it is what it is. I mean, the UMBC got what they wanted when they wanted all the time. That's what I think is the biggest concerning point, but it is correctable, and you have the sense that it will be corrected for this game.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, there's just, okay, guys, we got to just move on.
Yeah.
We got to get better. We got to work a little harder. We got to get a little tougher. You know, a lot of loose balls went UMBC's way, the 50-50 stuff. And you know, just one of those things, again, for the first half, it was right there. They came out, you know, on fire. Ever Duncan had a great first stanza, and they were there. And it was just, it's there. It was just unfortunate they couldn't finish.
If Lamb is out for an extended amount of time, which we never know, concussions can last for months. I mean, you don't know, and God hopes that this is going to be a quick one for him. But if he's not there, what does UVM have to do to continue to be a dominant force that they've been for these many years?
Well, I mean,
who's the guy now? I mean, what has to happen?
Right, and that's the question. Where does the scoring from the inside now? Where does the post presence to get easy baskets? Because a lot of the times when you put Lamb on the block, you know, the double team comes and it's either quick dish or wide open three, or he's making a play before the double team comes. So who and how does your offense evolve? Does Isaiah Maul on the block, you know, try to take over? Does Ryan Davis now become a person who can be a stretch five, make shots? Do you start to post up Robin Duncan because of his length and the smaller guards potentially that he might be matched up with? I think those are the questions that need to be looked at for where it goes. But you are right. Steph Smith and Ernie Duncan have to be the guys now offensively to really, really get the train going.
What does Stony Brook do that makes them so great? I mean, obviously a team that's coming in, I don't think the expectation was as high as, say, past Stony Brook seasons, but right. Obviously undefeated. What makes them a great basketball team?
Just their inside athleticism. Yep. They're big. They're athletic. Their guards are solid. You know, they're not really overwhelming and going to really take it to you, but they can make shots and they can do things and they defend. But the biggest thing for Vermont tonight is how are they going to match up and compete inside, especially on the backboard?
Yeah, listen, you know, these are the kind of games you kind of get excited about. After you come off a loss, it's fun to see how your team responds. The Catamounts got to respond in a very difficult place, and if they do, we're right back in the situation that we were in before the UMBC game.
And let's not forget, everybody, we're 15-5. We're all right.
We want that home game.
Sure.
We want that home game in the tournament.
Every point of the season, you face some adversity. We're looking at it. We're looking at it right now.
And let's face it, boys. I mean, when we get the championship game, we get to do Sports Saturday up there. And there's no one that loves that more than me. So come on, Catamounts. Let's get it done. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we got our buddy Austin Danforth from the Free Press. We're going to talk some high school sports, man. Can you believe we're almost in February? I mean, we're starting to get ready for the playoffs in high school winter sports.
The biggest sports story of the winter is the weather.
That's a good point. Well, wait till the spring. You want to think the weather's bad now. Wait till the spring when you got snowstorms in the middle of April and you can't have games for 2 weeks, 3 weeks. That's got to be a nightmare for a guy like you.
Thanks, Jeff.
I appreciate it, Bernie. I'm always here for you. We'll be right back.
The UVM basketball team is looking to win another America East Conference championship and to get back to the NCAA tournament. Follow all the action all season long on your home for Catamount Hoops. 101.3, The Game.
Hi, folks. Steve here at Shearer Chevrolet Buick GMC Cadillac. It's time to kick off the new year with huge savings. Right now, you can buy a brand new GMC Acadia 7-passenger all-wheel drive for only $27,995. Now, that's a deal. With a huge selection of vehicles and great prices, why shop anywhere else? Come visit us at 1675 Shelburne Road in South Burlington, Vermont, or online at shearervt.com. Find out for yourself why thousands of people shop at Shearer Chevrolet Buick GMC Cadillac. GMC, we are professional grade.
Price based on stock number G3828. Must trade a 1999 or newer vehicle. Must have a current GM lease in the household. See dealer for details. Offer expires
1/31/2019. Save time, save money. We hear you. Drive the best deal home from Shearer. Put the rest in the rearview mirror. Shearer. Shearer.
With studios powered by Vermont Federal Credit Union, with great products, great rates, and great taste in music. Vermont Federal Credit Union. Check them out today at vermontfederal.org. This is 101.3 The Game.
And now, your latest forecast.
Going hour by hour on your Saturday, look for partly sunny skies, though can't rule out a few mountaintop snow showers. Afternoon high temperatures will reach the upper teens under a light south wind. For tonight, we're partly clear with overnight lows in the low teens. Sunday is partly to mostly cloudy with periods of light snow throughout the afternoon, with a high temperature approaching the low 30s. With your forecast on 101.3 The Game, a meteorologist, Torrance Gosher, with Local 22 and Local 44 News.
It's 32 degrees at 101.3 The Game.
Now back to Sports Saturday on 101.3 The Game.
I don't know what I like more when Aaron starts playing the comeback music, watching you two dance over here, you know?
Gotta love me some Snoop.
Snoop.
Snoop. Come on, man.
The old school Snoop.
Oh, it's
I like these guys when they just did their thing and I didn't have to listen to, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, that's why this is classic. This was a great album.
I definitely was cruising around in my mom's Volvo station wagon when I was a senior in high school pumping this thing.
Is that when you put the hydraulics in so it could bounce like all the cars?
Yeah, that was the box with the switches.
Yeah, so this was my mother's silver Volvo station wagon, you know, the family car. So no, there was no
top down with hydraulics.
None of that was happening.
What's my name?
No. None of that was happening. No. It was more like me with just trying not to hit things, you know, because she would, you know, yell at me.
No, she still does.
No, she does that all the time.
Okay.
No one better than my mom, though. Man, she is a rock. My mother, God bless her, still to this day, goes to the gym like twice a day. She Zumba classes, body pump classes. There's a big poster of her in her gym. You know, like she's like the cover girl for this place. I mean, she's a rock.
Your dad must love that.
Oh, yeah. Wait, she beats my dad up. And by the way, my dad's lost a bunch of weight, too. So he's looking awesome. So, family's a fit family. That's good. Tell you. All right. Listen, you know this. It's sports time, winter sports. We talked about this early in the season, like what can we expect? But now next week we're going to be talking about February. This is where we start getting serious. Playoffs are coming, and who better to talk to than our good friend on the TikTok Jewelers guest line right now on Sports Saturday, Burlington Free Press award-winning sports writer, Austin Danforth. Good morning, my man. What's happening?
Morning, boys. You guys calmed down. You were pretty fired up earlier.
Well, you know how we get here, Austin. You know how it is. You know how it is sometimes you start talking about officials and NFL and all that stuff, we get ourselves fired up. My real question before we get to the stuff that we want to talk to you about is, how are you handling things last Sunday with your Patriots?
it was a roller coaster there, but I was like, at the same time I was worried, I was like there wasn't any sort of sense of like lingering or impending doom. Going in that, you know, Sony Michel had to run the ball more times than Patrick Mahomes was going to throw it, and he came really close. And then you see that stat at the end of the game that the Patriots ran twice as many plays as the Chiefs did, and that makes sense to why I wasn't in complete, just, you know, in intestinal agony watching that game.
You see the difference for Bernie, for a guy like you and me that root for the New York Football Giants and a guy like Austin that roots for the Patriots? Like, I'm just telling you, if I could, people can get, like, you know, they get, hypnotized, and they like, all of a sudden they like vegetables, or they'll stop smoking. Like, I want to be hypnotized so I can be a Patriots fan. I just think life would just be a lot easier if you're a Patriot fan. There's no stress. You're fine. You're calm. It's exciting.
Be quiet, Jeff.
I'm just saying. Like, I'm seriously, like, I don't smoke, so I don't need that. But maybe get hypnotized, become a Patriots fan.
No.
Boy, it's got to be so fun to be a Patriots
absolutely
fan.
Absolutely not.
I don't know.
It won't be next Sunday.
No. Let me tell you something right next Sunday. We'll make our prediction next week, but I'll make my prediction. There's absolutely no way that Rams team and Jared Goff is going to beat Brady and Belichick. It's just not going to happen.
Austin, should the Super Bowl be on Sunday or Saturday if there's a week in between?
Ooh, I've never thought about that. I like the Saturday night idea, though. A lot.
Well, I mean, why shouldn't it be? You start at 6:30. You don't have work in the morning. Everybody can do what they got to do. And
because it's,
you
know, Sunday is when they play the game.
They play football games on Thursday. Yes, they do.
Not everybody.
They play football games on Monday. They play them on Sunday. They play them on Saturday.
They played Saturday games 2 weeks ago.
Yes.
I love that. You could really turn it into a
fun evening.
Aren't you guys into tradition? Can't you guys into tradition? Like, Super Bowl Sunday is Super Bowl Sunday. I'm just saying. That's how it works.
Then start the game earlier.
All right, I can see that. Well, doesn't the game start at 6 o'clock at night? It starts at 6 o'clock.
That's late, and with the
but it's gonna take 4 hours.
With the 7 hour halftime show, you know, you're lucky if you're in bed by midnight.
Wait, is Bernie complaining about something right now?
No
way.
That's
all he does, Austin. That's all this guy does. This is why you text me and say, boy, you're fired up today. This is what I deal with every Saturday morning. All the time. All right, buddy, listen, we don't have a whole lot of time. Let's get into it. Winter sports is rocking and rolling now. Let's start with boys basketball. What's happening there, and what can we expect going forward?
Yeah, so it's like we're halfway through the season, but as Bernie was saying, I think earlier, it's been a really weird light week after a light week of exams. So like, it really, like, there hasn't been a ton going on in the last, you know, handful of days. But that being said, boys basketball, one of the things that did happen was Rice, who is the last undefeated team in the state, they were beaten by South Burlington by 2 points there the other day. Impressive showing from the Wolves, who've been without pretty much their best player for the entire season to this point. So that was a huge win for them to get. And then South Burlington went last night and beat Burlington, who Burlington is young. They're a little inconsistent, but when Burlington's at its best, they can play with literally anybody in the state. as they've shown already, their ranking, they think they're right at 500, doesn't really show it, but some of those wins are real quality wins. They pushed Rice to the brink there when they played earlier. So long story short, Rice is leading the pack in boys hoops. I think they're 8-1, 9-1 now, somewhere in there. They are played the last couple games without their sophomore star, Michel Dyer-Chimier. I think when he comes back, they're going to be a much tougher team. I don't know if they lose that game the other night without him. But after them, you look, you know, Jeff Davis is going to cringe when I say his Mount Mansfield team is they're the number two team in the rankings right now. But they're 8-1. They just beat, or 9-1 now, sorry. They beat Spalding last night and had a big win over CVU earlier in the week. And then right behind them, you got Rutland. Rutland's lost three times, but I don't think anyone's looking past them at all. Rutland just beat Middlebury last night by 11, and Middlebury had gotten to this point in the season with just one loss. They might still be in the running to steal a top four seed and a home route to Patrick Jim, which would throw a wrench in things for some of these Metro teams that are grinding it out every week. And then the pack behind those big three I mentioned, you got CVU. They were cruising right along. I liked what I saw at MMU the other night, but they got worked pretty good by St. Jay last night. And St. Jay is another team that's probably, a contender for a spot at Patrick Jim at the end of the season.
And, you mentioned all these teams. It just seems like to me, Austin, that, those four, five, even six teams, could potentially put a string together and win four games in a row and win the title.
Oh, yeah. I think the difference between the top team, who I would say right now, when fully formed, Rice is that top team. I think the distance between them and maybe that sixth or seventh team isn't that far. When you could be looking at Burlington or South Burlington as a 8 or a 9 or a 10 seed somewhere in there, I think either of those teams could make a run and go to the semis or even the final if they get hot. I think unlike the last couple of years where there's been really one or two teams or just one team at the top, there's a lot more parity at the top of the boys basketball this year.
Austin, let's move over to the girls' side. Obviously, we know what CVU and Rice has been a historical great program, and we know what St. Johnsbury's got, but what can we expect going forward with that?
Say, the girls' basketball is almost the opposite of the boys, where you look at those teams you just rattled off. CVU is the only one of those unbeaten. They've beaten the other two. They also beat BFA, who's been pretty good. So you look at those top four teams in Division I girls basketball, and really it's CVU, it's St. Jay, the defending champ, and then there's quite a distance between them and Rice, who also owns a win over BFA, and BFA would probably be the four. But for the most part, St. Jay and CVU have been beating everybody by 20-ish or more points every time, and it's really a little startling. The gulf between those two and everybody else at this point. So another finals rematch between them is hardly out of the question at this point.
So moving over to the hockey end of things, what can you expect from the guys' side?
Guys, right now, and this is, as Bernie can attest, it's been a little tough with these snowstorms and whatnot falling on Wednesday.
A little
and
tough? It's been awful.
I'll put this out right now. Wednesday night's games shouldn't have been canceled. It wasn't as bad as it could have been. You can make fun of me off.
No, I mean I can't disagree. I can only do as I am mandated.
Okay. Well, anyway, you can send that up those 2 cents up the flagpole and see how far they climb.
Not very. I promise you that.
Okay. Anyway, hockey. It's been really, really sort of like a midseason doldrum here, but boys hockey. You have go figure, you have Essex and BFA have the two best records at this point. And then third, right behind them, you have Stowe, who doesn't have the depth, but they have top-end talent with their top line is very good in Division I. I still think Essex is the team to beat. They play BFA. I think they go up there on the 6th, if I'm correct, or the 4th or the 6th, one of those 2 days. And that should be maybe a precursor to the state final, if it pans out like it's been going. And then Division II, Bernie's boys there, the Colchester Lakers, they're young, but they're good. And you look at Division II, pretty wide open. You throw in that mix, you got Colchester, you got Mount Mansfield, you got Missisquoi's been pretty good. And then Woodstock, the defending champ, was undefeated until they lost to Mount Mansfield a week and a half ago. So D2 looks like a lot of fun in boys hockey. And you look, girls hockey, it's the Essex and BFA show there as well, with maybe Rice able to throw a wrench in things.
All right, Austin, so our Green City Garage Sports Saturday poll question today is Bill Belichick or Tom Brady? If you can only have one of them, who do you got?
God, this is like, it's like the chicken or the egg thing. I was talking about this to someone the other day. I think I got to go Belichick, just because, and you say that and you're like, yeah, but he can only do that because he has a quarterback who can perform consistently in clutch moments at an exceedingly high level, like a unbelievably high level. But that said, the quarterback thrives in a system and a setup that Belichick has devised. And, you know, Brady can only play half the game. And what Belichick does off the field, building the team, planning, I mean, you look at the way they play, they approach the season. Like, the first 6 weeks of the season are basically like just like fun experimentation time for them, and they usually end up winning most of those. When they don't, like this year, you're like, oh wait, are we not good anymore? No, it's because they've been implementing, you know, 10 different styles of play that they can pull out of their hat down the season. So like, I don't know, I mean, you look at what are the Rams going to do this weekend? They don't know which New England team they're going to face. It's not like New England has one way they can play.
Wouldn't it be interesting, though, as a Patriot fan that you've been, that it all started against the Rams? This is where this all started there, when the Super Bowl run started, yeah. You know. And then if you bookend it with another win against the Rams, wouldn't that be fitting for TB12 to just say, okay, this was, you know, hang the cleats up and walk away? Wouldn't that be it would be the storybook ending, I would think, for him.
Oh God, I got to think that will go through his mind if it happens, because yeah, you're talking. Like, it was 17, 18 years between the two games, yeah. 17 years between the two games, and he's been to more Super Bowls than any other franchise on it. Like, well, competed.
And think about what he's done from that game, you know, and we understand what he did in the playoffs that year and what he was, but what he's done from, say, that Super Bowl to now, in that, it would just be the perfect capper. You know, it started against the Rams, it ends against the Rams. Thank you very much.
And you lost to Eli Manning twice in between.
He did do that. He did.
Can we not bring? Can we not bring that up?
I have to. I can't handle the greatness talk.
Anyway, yes, I think it would be happy to if we win this weekend and he rides off into the sunset, I'll be happy. I think it's also about time. Someone was talking to someone last night. The Patriots, let's win one comfortably. Let's not have it be palpitations late into the night.
Here we go.
You know, be panic drinking through the second half and then dealing with the after effects the next day.
Help me
a comfortable one.
Help me understand panic drinking.
So let's just say whatever the most uncomfortable you've been in a social situation, and you just sort of like drinking for something to do, and amplify that, because it's like, I don't know what to do. This isn't going well. And you're just like, okay. Trying to distract yourself.
And another reason why, not because of the panic drinking, that it'd be fun to be a Patriot fan. Can you imagine? Like, having the biggest problem you have is, could we just blow somebody out in a Super Bowl, please? I mean, that's your biggest problem if you're a Patriot. I mean, these close games are driving me crazy. Winning all these games just drives me crazy. It's so hard to do.
It sounds like
that.
A UVM basketball fan right now.
Sounds like a UVA basketball fan. You know what I mean? Austin, buddy, you're the best, pal. Thanks so much. We'll talk to you later down the road.
All right. Later, guys.
Thanks,
all
Austin.
Right. I mean it. Like, I was thinking the other day, how much fun is it? Like, and I've got, you know, you do too. Like, I got a ton of friends that are Patriot fans, and they're so fired up. It's just got to be so fun. The only thing I can compare it to is being a Yankee fan, which I am, over those years where they were winning World Series. And they were great, but even the Yankees, you know, they won three in a row, and that was basically it. And then they go to the playoffs, they would lose games. This organization is just there every year. It's just got to be so fun.
Do we get to have a Rams fan on next Saturday?
I got to find one. Yeah, I know a special one we can get.
Wouldn't that be kind of fun?
We should have Dave on for next week. That would be good. You know, Dave and I were texting during the if you don't know, our old producer, Dave Hunter, is one of the biggest Rams fans. He may be the only Rams fan I know. Maybe that's not true, but he's the biggest one I know. And my God, even when they were bad, Bernie, remember we'd be talking and about the Rams. It's like Chris Russo on the Fan in New York talking about the San Francisco Giants all the time. But he was fired up, and he, you know, he kept texting me, like, they're going to win, they're going to win. And he was absolutely right, no question about that. But I will say this, there's absolutely no way that Bill Belichick has 2 weeks to prepare for Jared Goff and McVay, that they're going to
be the young mad scientist. You don't believe?
I mean, I'm not into that yet. I don't believe that.
In the transition?
I would say that what helped the Rams win wasn't anything that he did, the exception of maybe throwing it on the punt, faking the punt. It was more what Sean Payton didn't do that cost them, that sent them, catapulted them to the Super Bowl.
And right there, I thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, you didn't ask why.
Okay, well, anytime you thank me, I thank you, because I don't hear it much.
Because you didn't mention an official.
Well, because it's, I already made my point last hour. All right, we're going to take a... Sorry, go ahead, Aaron.
Guys, I'm really scared of Aaron Donald. I'm just thinking about right now, please. All the times I've seen him just slip by his center.
The one thing that,
stop.
Wade Phillips and Aqib Talib.
Please, enough of this.
He's magic. I don't know how he does it. He's just 1 second he's on one side of the line of scrimmage. The other second he's behind the center.
He's unbelievable. Let me just tell you this. You have Bill Belichick on the other sideline. That's all you have to worry about. Go look at the Buddha over there. That's the Buddha. That's the football Buddha. That's the savant. That guy's got 2 weeks to prepare for Aaron Donald and Dominican Sue and whoever else you want to throw out there. There is absolutely no way. No way. If you want to talk about a sure bet, I don't know what the spread of this game is. The New England Patriots are winning the Super Bowl. Jared Goff is not beating Bill Belichick. I'm just saying. Now, Eli Manning beat him twice, so I can't believe, I know. But even in that situation, the Giant defense was unbelievable. And Nick Foles beat him as well. But there's no way Jared Goff, a kid like that, is going to go into this Super Bowl and beat Bill Belichick. Just not going to happen. I'm just telling you that right now.
I'm going to have to make a montage out of you if you're wrong.
I'm just telling you.
There's no way. I'm going to hate it.
Go right ahead.
I'm going to hate it.
I'm telling you. The Pats, this is Pat Patriot fans, put your feet up. You know,
panic
drinking for Austin. He's going to have nice, get yourself a Ramonto's pizza.
But how bad were you in fantasy again?
I was average in fantasy.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
It had nothing to do with but I didn't have Bill Belichick and I didn't have Tom Brady. We'll be right back.
I wouldn't bother with those winter coats because Sports Saturday is about to bring the heat. It's time for Hot or Not on 101.3 The Game.
All right, Aaron, what do you got today, buddy?
Hot or Not is brought to you by Superb Cupcakes in Williston. Stop by Superb Cupcakes in the Taft's Corner Shopping Center in Williston for the best cupcakes around. They never disappoint, offering over 100 flavors of regular and mini cupcakes made from scratch daily. No box mix here. Make today superb. They're open every day but Monday, so get your cupcakes today. And for the Super Bowl, they'll be making a special batch of specialty cupcakes. More details next week.
Yeah, what they do is they'll be Rams cupcakes and there'll be Patriot cupcakes. They're going to be some special flavors. Nah, I get them. They're Eagles fans. Well, I don't know about Hannah.
Someday, yeah. Jeff. Bernie.
Yeah.
Woo! You didn't just do that.
That's a promo. Wow.
There it is. That's right. They're going to come up with some funky flavors for the Rams and for the Patriots. So if you're a Patriot fan or a Ram fan, or you're having a Super Bowl party,
maybe they do like a clam chowder cupcake.
Ooh, that would look at you, clam chowder cupcake. I bet that would be deliciously
some gumbo
not.
On the other side. Oh no, they're not in St. Louis.
Gumbo, what's the matter with you?
L.A. What the kombucha?
That's like a nice smog cupcake.
Well, they've moved around so much. Could they do like something from St. Louis and
you do half and half? Yeah. You could do like a barbecue cupcake and then I don't know, what do you get in California?
Gumbo would have been New Orleans made it. Dang it!
I don't know. Yeah, you're way off. Maybe you should just stop with your mocking of our New York Giants. They wouldn't make a Giants cupcake anyway because Hannah is a fan of every team that's good. So she'll, one year she's a Seattle fan.
So she should make a Duke cupcake.
Dude, I'm making a Duke cupcake. Yeah, you know what a Duke cupcake tastes like, right? Exactly. Yeah. All right, what do we got? Let's go.
This one's courtesy of our friend Rob Parker, who we've used his takes in the past. Tom Brady will never win another Super Bowl.
Oh my God, not. Are you out of your mind? I mean, Tom Brady's the greatest he's ever played. I'm never picking against him again. Ever, 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 ever. I'm just not going to do it. He's the best. And if you watch what he did against Kansas City when push came to shove, overtime, late in the game, when they had to score to keep themselves in it, he just gets the job done. And I know that some people will say, as we've said many times, like, oh, the guys were wide open. Those guys aren't wide open. Those throws are pristine. He's the man. He's the best of all time. If he keeps playing, he'll probably win more. So I'm going to say not.
I hate to agree with you, but I'm going to say not. I just don't see how the question is not winning another one. Will there be multiple ones?
Exactly. Because they're winning this one. I'm just telling you, this is done. Done deal. I hope the commercials are good because the game's not going to be good.
Wow.
I'm just telling you.
So that's why we should have it on Saturday.
Yeah, there you go. They can eat and drink whatever you want. Exactly. Or you can go to bed earlier if the game's not any good. And you don't have to worry about it.
But you can't turn off a Super Bowl.
No, that's a good point. Because if you got the squares, you know, you want to see if you got win some squares. Anyway.
Yeah.
tonight is a must win for UVM.
You go first, Bernie.
Not. No. No. Yes, it's important. Yes, we want to win the conference. But no, it is not a must win. It's more about how they respond and how they compete. And if they do that, good things can happen.
Oh, hot. I think they got to win. You can't be two games back. You got to win this. You got to win this conference. You want the home game in the championship if you can get it. We've seen what home court advantage has done for this UVM team. They've lost a couple games too, but I know how important it is. And more importantly, we want to do sports Saturday at Patrick Gym. Okay, that's what we want to do. So yes, it's a big game. It's a big game for them. It's a big game for us. I'm just saying. But I think you don't want to be two games out. I mean, I can't imagine Stony Brook running the table, but you don't want to be two games out. You want to win this thing. Go Cats, go. Let's go.
Well, go Cats, go. We'll be all right, and we'll get to the show.
Ooh, look at you, Bernie.
Hey.
Hey, look at him.
That was, and that's referring to this last weekend, the worst officiated championship weekend in the history of the NFL.
I'm going to say not. I mean, I can think of numerous games in growing up.
But,
together.
Together.
I don't know. I don't know. I'm going to say not. The NFL has had this problem for a long time. And I understand that we've glamorized these for whatever reason. We keep talking about these situations. I think we're talking more about the call in New Orleans than we have anything else. But I think that call, I think Sean Payton is loving that call because it takes away from the mistakes he made in that football game. I don't know if it's the worst of all time. I think it's just typical of what we have now in major sports is we have a problem with officiating. It seems to happen in all the big games. And it's a problem. So we got to figure it out. I don't know what the answer is. Maybe you got to find guys that are a little bit better shape that can keep up with these athletes. I don't know what it is, but I can't imagine it being the worst of all time. But it definitely had it was bad, but it's typical.
Well, I'm going to say it's hot, but I also say the reason why it's hot is because technology and times with everything changing.
Sure.
Now you have people who are writing down every play and saying, official potential ? And then logging it and doing it. So the microcosm that everybody is under during a game like this, makes you realize, they didn't do this 20 years ago, 30 years ago. So it's just more scrutinized, and with the instant replay and the slowdown and everything, there are so many different avenues to look at and second guess these officials. That's why it's looked at this way.
Let me ask you this, as we can continue with this question, but should they add things to instant replay now that says, hey, you missed a call here, we need to relook at this? Should they add it to instant replay, you think, Bernie? Because I think in every sport, all you have to have is somebody that's in the main office up above that can just ding and say, hey, you missed the call.
But then, there was a hold on the offensive line.
I agree.
How much is too much?
Sure. Or do you go the other way and say, no more
instant replay.
You call the game like the old days, and we just go forward.
One idea has been to increase the number of challenges that the coaches can have, and then make nothing off limits in terms of challenges.
So you can challenge, he got held on that big play.
Yeah, only three or four, but it's still there's a few more challenges, but everything's in play.
Well, the challenge piece is one thing, or what you can challenge is the other thing. Can you challenge that should have been a pass interference?
He's saying, let's move the challenges to five, and you can challenge anything, play.
That way, egregious calls like that come back.
No.
But
I don't like that.
Only so many times.
I don't like that.
Interesting, like that. But again, you talk about...
There is a human element.
Games would take forever.
Yeah, and there's human element in these games. I should just get rid of it all. Just get rid of instant replay, go back to the old way.
Get rid of challenges and
all
just
of
let it go.
Done. You play the game. You just play the game and see how it ends up.
Interesting.
And it gives a lot of time for us to talk on the radio about it when the officials are so bad. Just
there
saying.
You go.
What if they had called a hold on the Tyree catch?
No, I'd be mad. Or if they called him, or they could have said he was in
the grass
too. That's what they could have called.
I mean, but his strength and his will to make a play persevered.
Yeah, and that duck he threw up there.
quack.
But you'd want anything to be challengeable then if it wasn't really a hole.
No, I mean, listen, I think there are some things that need to be challenged. I get it. I just, my point is that, yeah, it was a bad weekend for officiating, but it's always a bad weekend for officiating. Always. There's never a good weekend for officiating. Name me one weekend you thought, well, that was a really well officiated game. There isn't any. There isn't any. So it's just typical. Typical of what we got.
Boo.
Staying.
The Pro Bowl, speaking of worsts, is the worst all-star event across the major sports.
It used to be.
Yeah, I guess I'd have to say hot. I mean, the NBA is, you know, kind of fun.
That's fun. Baseball's fun, I think.
Yeah, baseball's fun. Hockey's good. You know, fun. Yep. So, yeah, hot.
Yeah, I'm going to say hot as well. It's very simple. Number one.
I'm just afraid someone will get hurt.
That's exactly right. I'm always nervous that your favorite player is going to get hurt, and then when you don't hit, they get criticized for that. I just don't think it's necessary. I think you should do those skills competitions that are fun to watch the guys do their thing, and then that should be it.
There is some beauty, though, in that dodgeball game.
Yeah, Saquon Barkley doing
his thing. Oh, man. Woo! Tonight's game against the Warriors will be a statement game for the Celtics.
Hot in the Celtics. It's the preview of the NBA championship. And everybody in the East Coast, including the Brooklyn Nets, will take notice, and the Celtics will be there.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to disagree that it is. I mean, like I said last week when we talked about, you know, what Kyrie Irving talked about LeBron James and his leadership, and if he's going to the LeBron James School leadership, I would question if that's a good thing for the Celtics. But I agree, the Warriors are the team to beat in the West. I still think that, and I think the Celtics are still on the East as well. It is a statement game for the Celtics. I'm sure they'll get it done tonight. But Kyrie's got to stop the LeBron love. You can't do it like LeBron, buddy. You got to do it like yourself. Can't do it like LeBron. LeBron doesn't do things. He's like Taco Bell. I told you, he's like Taco Bell. It's good in the beginning. It's ugly in the end. That's LeBron James doing to organizations. Don't do that to the Celtics.
Jay-Z attending the Pitt-Duke game this week is a red flag for the NCAA.
You don't understand. Jay-Z went to watch your boy Zion.
Yeah, no, I got
it. You know, and then and Jay-Z's got his little organization. You know, he's an agent. He's got his agency, and you know, is that
they
a good
must move? Protect amateurism.
All he wanted to do was go watch a game.
Yeah, I'm sure about that. So he went to the Pitt-Duke game? That's the game you choose to go to?
Why not?
Yeah, it'll be a lot of dunks, a lot of good stuff there to watch against Pitt.
I mean, come on, man. He's just a fan.
Yeah, he's a fan. Yeah, fair enough. Maybe you're right.
I mean,
I'll start with this.
I mean, let's err on the side of caution. Let's presume innocence until found guilty.
Fair enough. I'll say not as well. And I think, and obviously Zion is an. If you haven't seen this kid play, watch him play basketball.
How about RJ Barrett and Cam Reddish?
They're great players. But I would say that I haven't seen a player ready for the NBA like this kid's ready. I mean, Reddish and what's the other kid's name?
RJ Barrett.
RJ Barrett are great, and you think they potentially could be good NBA players. I could make arguments that they should stay another year at Duke. This kid's right. Ready to go now.
But Zion is just a...
Unbelievable.
Yes.
He's unbelievable. I mean, he literally is an unbelievable athlete. And any NBA team that's really bad should lose all their games because this is a different...
If you're the New York Knicks, how do you not tank to get... Now you get him and Porzingis back.
Of course.
And then you have enough cap space to sign an elite free agent.
Oh, yeah.
So you could get Klay Thompson... Porzingis and Zion?
But there's no guarantee in the NBA, as we know. It's a lottery, so it's not like there's a guarantee.
You tell me there wasn't a guarantee in 85 with David Stern and Patrick Ewing?
Patrick Ewing. Remember that guy from yeah.
Yes. You got to do something as the Knicks now that the Nets are going to the championship.
Oh, stop it.
With Joey Buckets as their guy. Joe Harris.
Great. They did beat the Knicks last night by 10.
Yeah, they're coming. It's an up-and-coming organization. Why do you got to hate so much?
Jared Allen,
because a really good friend of mine, two of them actually, are Nets fans, and no,
yeah,
closed.
Yeah, I don't like that. Have they ever been to a game there? It looks very dark in there to me. Every time I watch a game that the Nets are playing, it's like dark. Like it seems like all the lights are off except for on the court.
They remind me of the Raiders, like in the...
Yeah, everything's dark, you know? Basic and dark. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, that's Hot or Not. Brought to you by Superb Cupcakes. Get them at the Taft Corner Shopping Center. And they'll have the NFL cakes next week for the Rams and the Patriots. If you're any of those fans or you're having a big Super Bowl party, give them a call and check them out. All right, take a quick break. When we come back, we tie a bow on this show. And what a show it has been. Don't go anywhere.
I hate to say it, but the show is almost over. But before we go, we'll get the Brass Monkeys bumping and get you ready for your sports weekend. This is Sports Saturday on 101.3 The Game.
The Green City Garage Sports Saturday poll question today was if you could have one of them, Brady or Belichick, who you got? Aaron, what do we got? What's the final total, buddy?
My mic wasn't on, and then I tried to turn it on, and the button didn't work. Hold on. Now I'm rattled. It's 75% Bill Belichick.
Bill Belichick wins. So our listeners think if you could have one of them, but how lucky, you don't have to worry about that. You got both of them if you're a Patriot fan. Got them both.
Yeah.
With everything though, Bern, I mean, you can't hate on the Patriots. I mean,
no.
I mean, it's unbelievable what they've done.
It's unbelievable.
There was a thing, I don't know if you saw the thing where they had, I don't know what song it was, but it was Gronkowski and Brady getting off a bus and they were just smiling. I think I posted it on Facebook. It was like perfect for those two guys. Like, they're still here. They're still pertinent. They're getting the job done. And they're going to win another championship. What you going to do about it, buddy? The Rams aren't doing anything about it. I can tell you that. The boy wonder, Sean McVay, isn't doing anything about it.
Man.
Jared Goff isn't doing anything about it.
Johnny Hecker might, though.
Who?
Wade Phillips.
The punter.
Oh, he's not doing anything. Wade Phillips. Yeah, we saw what Wade Phillips did when he was a coach of the Cowboys. We took care of that, too, as a Giant fan, many times.
He only, won in Denver.
That's true. He's not going to win this week, though, or next week. I'm just going to say that. Hey, keep your station right here on 101.3 The Game. We've got UVM and Stony Brook. Coverage starts at 6:30 tonight. Big game for the Catamounts. Burn, don't fall out of the chair,
Whoa.
Buddy. That was almost really bad. Don't fall out of the chair, but the Catamounts, big game tonight against Stony Brook.
Huge game. Going to be interesting to see how they respond. I expect them to play hard and come out well and, hopefully at the end of the night, get a victory.
And tonight also at 8 o'clock on our sister station, 96 The Zone, you got the Golden State and the Celtics. And tomorrow at 2:30, we've got coverage here of the NFL Pro Bowl on 101.3 The Game. I want to thank Tim Kirchen for joining us today. Baseball Insight, always good to talk to Timmy. And our buddy Austin Danforth from the Free Press, always great insight and obviously very excited about his Patriots. And let me just say this before we leave you today. My niece Bailey, 8-year-old Bailey Paul, had her first basket in her basketball game last week. I wasn't able to be there because I was doing the show, but I'm so proud of her. She practices so hard. She almost scored in the wrong basket the time before, but she didn't, which is good. She probably learned that from her uncle, which is me. But at the end of the day, she had her first basket. So Bailey, keep it going. I love you. We're proud of you. And everybody, have a great weekend. We'll see you next week.